بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been talking about the sins of the heart, and we're up to al-haqd and al-hasad. Al-haqd is having enmity in the heart for a Muslim if one acts in accordance with this and does not hate it. Among the sins of the heart is to have enmity for a Muslim. This enmity is to take a Muslim as an enemy without a religious reason, if as a result one causes harm to one's fellow Muslim or is firm in his heart to do that whenever he has a chance and opportunity, then one is sinful. On the other hand, if one rejects such a feeling and does not try to harm, even with the tongue, other Muslims out of it, then one is not sinful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from holding grudges against other fellow Muslims, from having hatred in our hearts against our fellow Muslims. Now, a person might feel in his heart that he doesn't like another person. If he doesn't act in accordance with this hatred in his heart or that came into his heart, and he doesn't have a firm intention, which is called azm in Arabic, firm intention, to harm that person because of this enmity whenever he has an opportunity, then this person is not sinful. But if he is acting in accordance with that hatred in his heart, that feeling in his heart, feeling with enmity towards that Muslim brother or sister, and he's acting in that accordance by tongue and actions, let us say a person hates another person, he doesn't like him, he has a feeling in his heart that he doesn't feel comfortable towards that Muslim brother. And because of this feeling in his heart, he started acting towards harming that Muslim brother by words or by actions. Then this person is sinful. Why he is sinful? Because he's acting in accordance with that feeling in his heart, and he's not trying to stop himself from acting. Rather, he's working towards harming his Muslim brother. Because of that hatred that exists in his heart towards his Muslim brother. That's haram. That's called al-haqd. If someone has an enmity towards a Muslim fellow without a religious reason, and he puts a firm intention in his heart that whenever he has an opportunity, he'll bash him up, hit him. But he's not finding this opportunity to harm him in that way. But he has that strong intention in his heart, that firm intention in his heart, that when this opportunity comes, he will hit that Muslim brother unjustly. Then for having that firm intention in his heart to harm that Muslim brother, and because it's based on the feeling in his heart, feeling with enmity towards that Muslim brother without a religious reason, then this person is sinful as well. But if a person is hesitating, he's in between. He doesn't have that firm intention to harm him. He doesn't have that firm intention not to harm him. He is swinging between harming and not harming that person. As if in his heart he is saying, I want to bash him, I want to hit him. Then he says, no, I don't want to do this. Then he would say, I want to do it. I'm not going to do it. He is hesitating, jumping from this extreme to that extreme, harming, not harming. This person doesn't have the firm intention to harm his Muslim brother. Now, for being in that situation, in between, one is not sinful as long as he did not say any word in accordance to that feeling, and he did not act any action according to that feeling in his heart. For instance, if he puts in his heart, I want to harm that Muslim. He was hesitating. Should I go and harm him now or not? He was hesitating. Then he walked towards that person to hit him. So he committed what here? An action. He took steps to harm that person. And these steps are here by actions, then one becomes sinful. Although he was hesitating, swinging between I want and I don't want, but because he took an action, took a step towards that thing, he is sinful. If he says a word, like to say to people, I want to go and hit that person. So he is saying the words that includes confirmation to what he was hesitating about, then one is sinful as well, because he spoke about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah tajawaza li an ummati مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهَا مَا لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا أَوْ يَتَكَلَّمُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهَا مَا لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا أَوْ يَتَكَلَّمُوا. Meaning that one is not held accountable for what he talks to himself about doing something haram unless he confirms this by a word, by his tongue, or by his actions. If he is substantiating that hesitation in his heart, that whispering in his heart with sayings by his tongue or actions, then one will be considered as sinful. This is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah tajawaza li an ummati ma haddathat bihi anfusaha ma lam ya'malu aw yatakallamu. Because if one is held accountable for what he talks to himself, then people will experience a big hardship. Then more than 90% of people would fall into committing that sin. Because how many times a person would have in his heart, I want to do this, which is haram. He might talk to himself about doing something haram. Then he says, no, I don't want to do it. Something holds him back. If he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would hold him back. No, I don't want to do this. So if just because he had that feeling or that intention, although it wasn't a firm intention, it was hesitation, if he will be held accountable and sinful for that hesitation in his heart, he will experience a big hardship. But unless he goes further, he takes a further step by saying or by action, then one will be considered as sinful. I'll give you an example. Let us say a person was in a place, workshop, and he saw an amount of money on the table. And he was working. The devil would come to him and whisper to him and say to him, go and take him. Now this person, if he is not that strong person, he might start thinking about it. He might say in his heart, I want to take him. Then something says to him, no, don't do it. That's haram. He's talking to himself. I want to take him. No, I don't want to take him. It's haram. So he is hesitating between taking and not taking. For that hesitation, he is not sinful. When does he become sinful? When he takes a further step by saying or by action. Let us say he was working here and he saw the money there and he walked towards that table to take the money. Now, even if before reaching that table he changed his mind and he came back, he is still sinful for walking towards that table to take the money. Because here he took a further step. It's an action. What did the Prophet say? The Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهَا. As long as he's talking to himself about doing or not doing that thing without taking any further step, he's not sinful. The Prophet said, مَا لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا أَوْ يَتَكَلَّمُوا. But once they take an action or they say something about this, that means they say they want to do that haram thing, they become sinful. They become sinful. Also, for instance, if a person was invited by a beautiful lady to commit fornication with her, she called him on the phone and she asked him to come to her house. He hanged up and started thinking about it. I go, no, I don't want to go. I go, no, I don't want to go. As long as he's hesitating, without taking any further step, one is not sinful. But if he takes a further step, let us say he grabbed the keys of the car and he went out, even when he reached the car, he changed his mind, he's sinful for taking these further steps. Also, if he puts a firm intention that he wants to fornicate with her, he's not hesitating here, fully towards doing that thing, 100% towards doing that thing, then he is sinful for that firm intention in his heart. So in this case, let us say, if he goes to see that girl, then he couldn't find her. Or the car got wrecked on the way, he couldn't continue the way to reach that lady. He is still sinful because he had that firm intention in his heart to commit that sin. He took further steps, then that person is sinful in this case. Unfortunately, some people nowadays falsely claimed that if you make a date with a lady to have intercourse with her, to commit fornication or adultery, if you go there and you don't find the girl, you are not sinful. This is against religion. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, كُتِبَ عَلَى ابْنِ آدَمَ حَظُّهُ مِنَ الزِّنَا مُدْرِكٌ ذَلِكَ لَا مَحَالَهُ فَالْعَيْنُ تَزْنِي وَزِنَاهَا النَّظَرُ. Meaning most of people commit either fornication and adultery or what is considered as an introduction for the fornication and adultery. For instance, the Prophet started giving examples. He said, Al-Aynu tazni wa zinaha an-nazar. He called this zina al-ayn, looking lustfully at a lady. This is called zina al-ayn. This is an introduction for the zina because this drags you to commit zina later on. So the Prophet said, Al-Aynu tazni wa zinaha an-nazar. Wal-yadu tazni wa zinaha al-batush, which means touching. This is called zina. So if someone shakes hands with a marriageable lady, it's called zina al-yad. Why it's called zina al-yad? Because this will lead to the actual zina, to the fornication, to the intercourse. Although this is not an intercourse, but it's an introduction, it could lead to the ugly and enormous sin, which is a zina. Also the Prophet said, وَالْفَمُ يَزْنِي وَزِنَاهُ الْقُبَلْ, kissing. This is called also introduction for the zina. And the Prophet called it zina al-fam. وَالْرِجْلُ تَزْنِي وَزِنَاهَا الْخُطَى. وَالْرِجْلُ تَزْنِي وَزِنَاهَا الْخُطَى. Walking. So if someone is walking to a lady to commit fornication and adultery with her, this is called what? Zina al-rijl. Zina al-rijl. Because he's walking. This is an authenticated hadith. This is an authenticated hadith narrated by Imam Muslim. And this shows that walking to commit fornication is considered as zina al-rijl. And this is haram, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. But those people say, if you walk to commit fornication and adultery with a lady and you don't find her, you are not sinful. According to them, you are not sinful unless you commit that actual sin. They say even if you have a firm intention and you take further steps as well towards doing that haram thing, you are not sinful unless you commit that haram thing. According to them, imagine a stealer, burglar, climbing up the pipes to reach the flat. He went there, for instance, to that safe. He opened it. He couldn't find the money there. They say he's not sinful. He didn't steal anything. All these actions, to them, are disregarded. And this is not true. This is against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us what we are not held accountable for is the hesitation in our heart towards committing something haram. Sometimes they might say to you, are you going to do this? For instance, which is haram. In your heart, you stay quiet, thinking of it, and you are hesitating. I do, I don't do. I don't want to do it. I want to do it. I don't want to do it. So you are hesitating. For that hesitation, you are not sinful. If you say or you take further actions, that one you become sinful, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So here we're talking about enmity towards a Muslim. Enmity in your heart for a Muslim. Now you might hate a Muslim in your heart. You don't feel comfortable towards him. But you fight that feeling in your heart. You don't want to act in accordance of that feeling in your heart. You are fighting it. That means you don't want to harm that person. Although you don't feel that you like him, but you don't want to harm him. So if the devil whispers to you, go and hit him. Swear at him in front of people. Swear at him. Go and hurt him. Take his money. Harm him in his belongings. But you are not obeying the whisperings of the devil. You are trying to hate them. Hate these whisperings. Push him away. Then if you hate these feelings and you push him away because you don't want to commit a sin, you will be rewarded. But if you act in accordance to that feeling in your heart, and you try to harm that Muslim, you take actions, or you say something to harm him, then in that case, you'll be considered as sinful. Sometimes you might go to the director of company, let us say. That person is working for that company. You go to the boss, director, and you say to him, that person is not trusted. Because you hate him. Because of that hatred in your heart towards that Muslim, you try to harm him by words. You go to that boss, you tell him, look, he doesn't do his job properly. This person is such and such. Because you want him to be kicked out. So you want to harm him. You want to harm him by words or by actions. You want to hit him, for instance, because you have that enmity in your heart towards that person. Then in this case, you are sinful. So you know now when haqd is considered as a sin, when you don't hate that feeling in your heart, rather you act in its accordance. You try to harm that person. Or you have a firm intention to harm him whenever you have an opportunity. Then in this case you are sinful. Also among the sins of the heart is envy, al-hasad, which is to hate and feel bitter about the endowment on a Muslim and act in accordance with this feeling. Envy, hasad, is among the sins of the heart. It means for one to feel disturbed that another Muslim has a certain endowment, ni'mah, such as money, to a point that one acts trying to make the Muslim lose this endowment. One may feel this about religious endowments as well as worldly endowments. If one does this, one is committing the sin of envy when he's acting. If one only wishes to have something similar to what another Muslim has, without trying to make the other Muslim lose this endowment, that is neither by sayings or actions, then one is not sinful. Also, if a thought of envy crosses a person's mind without one being firm about pursuing it, rather one abstains from acting accordingly, then one is not sinful for that. Al-hasad is different from al-haqd. Al-hasad is you don't feel comfortable about that Muslim fellow having this type of endowment. You feel bitter about the endowment bestowed upon your Muslim fellow. It happens. Many people would look at other people as if they're having binoculars. They see what other people have, and then they feel bitter about these endowments, and they wish in their hearts that these Muslims would lose these endowments. Not only that, they act in accordance of that feeling in their hearts. They act by actions or by sayings in accordance with that feeling in their hearts. One example is, let us say, two graduates from the university. Both graduated as civil engineers. They applied for a company. They accepted them. They started working. They got the job for that company. After, let us say, 1 month, the company chose one of them to be like the boss for a section, director for a section, and they gave him more wages. So they gave him more money, they gave him a position in that company, and they didn't give the other one. Now the other one would start thinking about it, why they gave him that position, and they gave him a pay rise, and they didn't give me. What makes him different from me? We both graduated. I even got high distinction. He got distinction. Why? And he starts feeling and wishing that that person loses his position and he won't get that amount of money. Now, if he, again, puts a firm intention to harm that person because of that envy in his heart towards him, whenever he has an opportunity, then he is sinful. Or if he starts acting by words and actions, let us say he went to the owner of that company and he said to him, look, you've appointed this person for that particular position, and I want to advise you, this person doesn't deserve to be in that position. This person will wreck your business. So he started talking to the owner of the company. Why? Because of that envy in his heart towards that Muslim. He wants him to lose that position. He doesn't want him to be in that position because of that envy in his heart towards him. This is called al-hasad, that is considered as haram, sinful. Also, if he says something, or he takes an action that shows he's acting in accordance to that envy in his heart towards that Muslim, then this person is considered as sinful. If you feel in your heart, or you wish in your heart that that Muslim wouldn't get that thing and it would have been given to you instead of him, But you accepted the fact that it was given to him, not to you. You didn't act by any saying or any action towards making him lose that position, okay? You are not sinful in that case. Let us say, you might say, you know, he's lucky. I'm not lucky. They gave him that position. They didn't give me this position. So as if you wished that they've given you this position, not him. But you said, he's lucky. And you accepted the fact that he's appointed, and you never acted or said anything that would make him lose his position, then in that case you are not sinful. In that case you are not sinful. If you never acted and you never said, but you had that firm intention in your heart to do this whenever you have an opportunity, you are sinful as well. You are sinful as well. Now, what a person could have an envy towards others because they have some endowments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That endowment could be religious. It could be a worldly endowment. Now, for the worldly endowments, we mentioned, let us say he won a car. They called him, you've got the lucky number, you won a car. Then that person said in his heart, I wish I was the one who got this car. Now, for that feeling, you are not sinful. But if you act towards making that person lose this endowment, that means you are taking further steps to harm him, you are sinful in that case. What about the religious endowment? So it's something related to religion. If you wish for a Muslim to commit a sin, you commit a sin. By just wishing. For instance, let us say, a person is fasting the month of Ramadan. Now, for you to wish in your heart that that person doesn't fast the month of Ramadan, you are sinful. Because you are feeling delighted towards him committing a sin. And you commit a sin in this case. If it's not an obligation, if it's a rewardable thing, so let us say a person made another Umrah. So he performed Hajj, that is the obligation. He performed Umrah, the first Umrah, which is an obligation as well. And he made another Umrah. Now the second Umrah is considered as what? Optional, rewardable, Sunnah. Now for one to wish that this person didn't make another Umrah, let us say they were competing, who's going to make more Umrahs? Then one did five, one did six. The one who did five wished that that person didn't make six. He's not sinful for that, because it's optional. But to say to him, to wish in his heart that this person did not perform this obligation at all, and not to perform at all, then that person is sinful. Al-hasad sometimes is contingent, that means it happens with the evil eye as well. They come together with the devil as well. So devil, evil eye, and hasad, envy. Three. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-aynu haqq, yahduruha ash-shaytanu wa hasad ibn Adam." Al-aynu haqq, yahduruha ash-shaytanu wa hasad ibn Adam. What does that mean? If you have envy in your heart towards a Muslim, you don't like him to have this type of endowment. He bought a car, let us say. Then You look at this person when he purchased the car, and you say words, you say with something while looking with an evil eye at that person, and you say to him, "From where did you get the money? You're supposed to be very poor. From where did you get the money to purchase this car?" Now, he has that bad feeling towards this Muslim. He has envy in his heart towards that Muslim. And he said these words while looking with an evil eye at that person. That person might be hit with that evil eye. He might have an accident straight away. His car might explode. He might become very sick. Suddenly they take him to the hospital and they tell him, "We need to take the kidney out and you need this and that." Suddenly. This is because of the evil eye. Most of the diseases and types of sickness people would experience these days, and doctors won't find any reason for them and any cure for them, they could be because of the evil eye. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "لو كان شيء سابق القدر سبقته العين." لو كان شيء سابق القدر سبقته العين, meaning that many people die because of the evil eye. They die because of the evil eye. And maybe you've heard many stories, as we know many stories as well about this. A lady told me she delivered a baby, and that baby she delivered was maybe about 6 kilograms when he was born. Seems big. Because she was a baby girl, very beautiful girl. Her face like full moon. People came to visit this lady after she delivered. They looked at the baby. Then one said to the other one, "Look, look, isn't she like our kids? Look, she's very big. She seems like 8 months, not a newborn baby." And they were looking with an evil eye, because they have envy towards this lady. They mentioned these words, then they went. That lady slept that night. In the morning she woke up, she couldn't hear the voice of her daughter. She checked on her, she was dead. She died because of the evil eye. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that many people die because of the evil eye. Many people get sick because of the evil eye. Now, when a person hits another person with an evil eye, we said an evil eye. We are emphasizing on this point, evil eye. When one looks at another person with envy and he says words that contains he's trying to hit that person or envy him, without saying words such as "Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu," "Oh Allah, protect him, bless him, do not make him get harmed." So if you say "Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu," he won't be harmed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you don't say "Allahumma barik fihim wa la tadurrahu," and you say words while looking a bad look at that person, the evil look at that person, evil eye, then this person might get hit. Two of the companions were in a trouble at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the way, they reached a place where they found like a fountain of water springing out of some rocks. It's like a fountain. So they wanted to have a bath from that water that is springing out, gushing out of these rocks. They took off the clothes while covering the awra, of course, to have a bath from that water. One of them had a very, very white skin and smooth. It seems like, as they said, a virgin lady. When he took off his clothes to have the bath, the other companion looked at him with an evil eye without saying, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu, and said to him, I haven't seen a white skin like this ever, even a skin of a virgin lady. Meaning that your skin is nicer than the skin of a virgin lady. That person collapsed instantly. He got hit with that evil eye. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated him, recited for him until he got cured. He woke up from that evil eye. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why should one harm his Muslim brother? Why you didn't say to him, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu? Had you said, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu, you wouldn't have hit him. But he didn't say, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu. He said, I haven't seen a white skin like this ever, even a skin of a virgin lady. And he got hit with the evil eye and he collapsed straight away. That's why, because sometimes a person might hit another person when he looks with envy, with an evil eye, and he says words. That's why remember always, before saying anything good about that person, to say what? Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu. Like for instance, your Muslim brother was memorizing religion. In 5 minutes, he memorized the 3 pages. So don't say to him, for instance, you do not say, this person memorizes very quick, with envy in your heart, while looking with an evil eye, then you might hit him. This person might collapse, might become very sick. That's why I say, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tudurrahu. If you say, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu, this person memorizes very quick, you won't hit him. Also, when you look at your Muslim brother with an innocent eye, I mean by innocent eye, there is no evil in that look. It's very innocent. A person is, let us say, purchased a car and he's driving by, and he said to you, do you like my car? And you say, it's beautiful. Without saying, Allahumma barik fiha wa fika ma darrak Allah fi malika wa la nafsika. He didn't say anything, but he said, it's a beautiful car. But he wasn't looking with an evil eye. It was the innocent eye. Then in that case, he wanted him. The innocent eye won't affect the person, even if you didn't say, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tudurrahu. When does the eye hit or the effect of the eye takes place? When it is an evil eye. And you don't say, Allahumma barik fihi wa la tudurrahu. A person, you know, might hit himself with an evil eye. How could a person hit himself with an evil eye when he's looking at himself with vanity? He's showing off. He is conceited of himself and his children. He might be saying it not only to be proud of his children, but to show off and to show that he's different from people. So because he was conceited, he started talking about his children and himself. He might say, I can do this easily. I'm special. I have this different characteristics, let us say. He's showing off. And he is conceited about himself. Then this person, if he doesn't say, Allahumma barik fiyya wa la tadurrani, he might hit himself. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من رأى في نفسه أو ماله أو ولده ما يعجبه فليدعو بالبركة فإن العين حق. من رأى في نفسه, if you see something in yourself, أو ماله, in your money, أو ولده, in your children, ما يعجبه, something that you like, make a supplication to bless them and to protect them. Because al-ayn is true. The evil eye is true. So, like regarding yourself and your children, you won't be looking like at yourself with envy. You're not going to envy yourself. But this is when you have ujub and fakhr. When you look at yourself with ujub and fakhr, that means you are conceited, you're showing off, then you might hit yourself with your own eye. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيَدْعُوا بِالْبَرَكَةِ. Let us say he was able to lift up 150 kilograms from the weights. So yeah, if he wants to talk about himself, I'm very strong, I can lift 150. If he says it in a way that is showing vanity, is showing off, and he's conceited of himself, he might hit himself. Then he won't be able to lift up 15 grams maybe. That's why a person should say, if he likes that from himself, that he's very strong, he would say, Barakallahu fiyya wa ma darrani. Barakallahu fiyya wa ma darrani. I was able to lift up 150 kilograms. This is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you see in yourself something that you like, or in your children, or in your money, make dua. Ask Allah to bless you, bless your money, bless your children, and to protect you, because the evil eye is a matter of fact. It's true. This is the meaning of it. This is the meaning of it. At the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, a lady wanted to have a shower, bath, but she didn't say the words of protection before she went to the place, to the bathroom, where they used to make the shower, the bath. As she went inside, because she didn't say the words of protection, as she was trying to take off her clothes, the devils hit her and she collapsed. They brought her to Ali bin Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet and the Caliph, and he recited for her until she got cured. Because devils like these places. They like to be in toilets in these places. And that's why you say, before you go to the toilet, what do you say? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. What are al-khubuth? The male devils. Al-khaba'ith, female devils. So you ask Allah to protect you from the evil and the harm of the male and female devils. She didn't say anything. She went inside. As she took off her clothes, she got hit by the devils and she collapsed. And Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib treated her. So a person might be hit by the devils. And sometimes when a person is looking at another person with envy and he says something about that person. For instance, how did he get this car? That's one example. And he's poor. From where did he get the money to buy this car? With an evil eye he was looking. And that person got hit with the evil eye. At that time, sometimes the devil would see that this person hit that person with the evil eye, then the devil would go and harm him more. So he increases the harm. He increases the harm on that person. So he got hit with the evil eye, and the devil would add harmness on that person. This is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-aynu haqq yahduruha ash-shaytanu wa hasad ibn adam. Yahduruha ash-shaytanu wa hasad ibn adam. Combination sometimes, the harm from the devil and the harm from the evil eye. And the harm from the evil eye. Some people are terrible regarding this matter. If a person knows from himself that if he talks about a Muslim without saying Allahumma barik fihi wa la tadurrahu, that he gets harmed and hit with the evil eye, it's haram to say for him a word that he believes this is going to harm the other Muslim. It's haram. Now, can the evil eye affect without talking, without saying any word, by just looking with envy, with evil eye? Can it affect that person? The scholars of Islam held two opinions regarding this. Some scholars said, no, it doesn't. If he doesn't say anything, even if he was looking with envy at that person, the evil eye doesn't affect him. Some scholars said, no, even without talking, he might be hit. He might be hit. Now, the more reliable saying is that the effect of the evil eye takes place when a person talks. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, to that companion, عَلَامَ يَضُرُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ لِمَاذَا لَمْ يَقُلْ أَلَّهُمَّ بَارِكْ فِيهِ وَلَا تَضُرَّهُ. So if you want to talk, make sure here to say اللهم بارك فيه ولا تضره. But even without saying اللهم بارك فيه ولا تضره, if you are looking at that person with an innocent eye, it doesn't take any effect in this case. You won't harm that person if you are looking with an innocent eye. If you hear someone reciting Quran and you say, you have a beautiful voice, with an innocent eye, you're not envying him, then he won't be hit. There is one of the famous Quran reciter in Egypt, died, rahimahullah. He was blind. His voice was very nice. And he had big eyes, big round eyes, yani beautiful eyes. He was with his father. He was with his father. He's very famous. He died. He's Muqra, reciter of the Quran. And when he was a boy, he was with his father. Then one person looked at him and he said, he has beautiful eyes. He looks like the children of the kings. And since then, he lost his sight. He lived for the rest of his life blind. For the rest of his life blind. Also, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the grandsons of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were hit with an evil eye one day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt pity for them. And he didn't know what to do. Then Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taught him what to say. He taught him to make a type of ruqya for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said after Jibreel, he repeated after Jibreel, and after that they got cured. Now what he taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, Allahumma dha sultan al-azim wal man al-qadim dha rahmat al-kareem وليا الكلمات التامات والدعوات المستجابات عاف حسنا وحسينا من أنفس الجن وأعين الإنس. Now you can say that to your kids, and you can say عافهم, your kids, عافي, you mention the name of your son, that person like Muhammad, Ahmad, whatever, min anfus al-jinni wa ayun al-ins. If you want to say them as words of protection for yourself, you say عافني, عافني من أنفس الجن وأعين الإنس. So you say them, seeking protection for yourself. Seeking protection for yourself. Also among the phrases that are considered as strong for protection, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من غضبه وعقابه وشر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين وأن يحضرون. So if you say them for yourself, you say أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من غضبه وعقابه وشر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين وأن يحضرون. If you want to say them for your children altogether, what do you say? أعيذكم بكلمات الله التامة من غضبه وعقابه وشر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين وأن يحضرون. If you want to say it for your wife, you say أعيذك بكلمات الله التامة, and so on. It's very important, brothers and sisters, that we say the words of protection every morning and every night. Because in this world that is filled with evil, you don't know what people would do for you. A person would hit you with an evil eye, and you weren't expecting to be hit. So that's why every morning, every evening, say the words of protection. And the strongest word to be said in the morning and in the evening, to say المعوذتين, قل أعوذ برب الفلق, and قل أعوذ برب الناس. So if you say these two, and you say آيات الكرسي, and you say this dua, inshallah you'll be protected. You'll be protected. If you don't know how to say them, or you have a little child, baby, who doesn't know how to say them, you can write them on a paper, proper writing. That what is called hirz. You can make like a hirz for them, inscript these words on a paper, and make it as a hirz, cover it, and hang it around the neck of your son. You can do this. This is not haram. This is not shirk, as some people say. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. No, because the Sahaba did this. Imam al-Tirmidhi narrated through the root of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As that he said, we used to say these words that the Prophet taught us that I just mentioned. أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ غَضَبِهِ وَعِقَابِهِ وَشَرِّ عِبَادِهِ وَمِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. And we used to inscript these words on a paper and put them around the neck of our children. So the Sahaba used to do this. This is not shirk, this is not haram. You can make hirz for your son because he doesn't know how to recite. Now to say the words of protection, this is stronger. This is stronger. But if you have hirz, you're wearing hirz, that has like a paper with some surahs and some ayahs of the Quran and some dua that is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no problem in that. But not to make some drawings that are not from the Quran, not from the Hadith, and not even from the scholars of Islam. Some people might go to a person and they say, look, my son is sick or my daughter is sick. Then that person would say, I'll make hirz for your daughter, but it will cost you 1,000. They are imposters. And they give her like a piece of paper and they write some talismanic like symbols that you can't understand them. Then they take 1,000 for this. Or they might say, bring me 3 hairs from the back of the head of your daughter. And I want also from you, what do they ask usually? For strange things. Sometimes they say, I need, a feather of a rooster. They put them all together, they say, this is a protection with the like a feather of a rooster, or like things like strange they do. Now these people are imposters, but to make a normal like inscription of verses of the Quran and the dua as the Sahaba used to do, there's no problem in that. Now there are some people from the deviant groups, if they see someone wearing hirz, even without asking what do you have in it, because they consider this as shirk, they try to rip it out, take it off his neck by force. And one person, they strangled him with that hirz. He was about to die, to get strangled, because they said this is shirk. I went to a place one day, you know where I think, I had hirz on my shoulder. I put some verses, especially the last verses, the last verse of each surah. Some scholars said it helps. Then as I was passing, one person saw this. He said, why are you wearing this? I had only Quran in it. I said to him, am I not allowed to carry the Quran with me? He said, yes, you are allowed. I said, this is part of the Quran. He had nothing to say. Part of the Quran, the verse of each surah. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm allowed to carry the Quran with me. I'm allowed to carry part of the Quran. Aren't you allowed to carry Juz' Amma? Aren't you allowed to carry Juz' Tabarak? Aren't you allowed to carry one surah with you? Sometimes some people put Surah Yasin in the pocket because they read it. And the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Quran shifa, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, a cure. Even Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiyallahu anhu was told about a lady that had problems in the labor when having the contractions before delivering the baby. She had problems and she was suffering. The baby wasn't coming out. He wrote some verses of the Quran. كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها. And another verse, and he said to that person, take him to her, let her carry him. And they did, and she delivered the baby. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made with these verses a benefit for that problem. Now, those people who say, no, this is shirk, tell him, when you have headache, don't ever take Panadol. Don't ever take Panadol. Don't they take Panadol for the headache? Is that shirk? Tell him, when you have heart problem, don't go to the hospital. Say, oh Allah, cure me. Oh Allah, cure me. And stay here. Don't go to the hospital. If you have internal bleeding, say, oh Allah, cure me. Don't go to the doctor. Because what they say, this is wasita. You're making a cause between you and Allah. That's what they say. Why you're making this, let us say, this hadith or ayah between you and Allah, they say. Why don't you ask Allah straight away? Tell him, when you have a problem, when you have headache, don't take Panadol, because that's a reason. Reason for the cure from the headache. But you might take them and you might not get cured. It depends on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah willed for you to be cured, you'll be cured. But you take with the reasons. You take with the reason. But whether you are going to be cured or not, Allah knows. That depends on Allah's will. So say to him, as you take Panadol when you have headache, if this lady is having problems delivering the baby, if you recite Surah At-Tariq for her, or you recite Surah At-Tariq on water, you make her drink that water, inshallah, this will benefit. Quran is better than Panadol. Quran is better than Panadol. So that's why, don't listen to those people who, whose hearts and whose minds are upside down. And unfortunately, they misunderstood religion. They misunderstood religion, and they want to apply their misunderstanding on all people, unfortunately. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sincerity in our actions and sayings, and to increase our knowledge, and Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.